From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Hello, and welcome to another LTBS broadcast. We are delighted to have you with us as we endeavour to present the Word of God to the saint and to the sinner. Let's commence by having a word of prayer together. Our Lord and our God, as we approach Thee, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we come reverently, respectfully, we come, Lord, fearfully, to one who is all-powerful, yet to one who is loving, and therefore we come with confidence. For we approach one who is merciful and good, who is willing to hear the sinner's cry. And Lord, on this occasion, as we consider the truth of the Word of the living God, we pray for help indeed. We pray, Lord, for help in the hearing of the Word, that even the pieces that we sing together would do your hearts good. They would lead us out, Lord, after Thee. And then we come to consider the Word of God. O Lord, give help in the proclamation of truth. And then, Lord, give help in receiving and responding to the truth of Thy Word. We are thankful for Thy Word. We are thankful, Lord, for the resurrection, for Jesus Christ, the one who died and who rose again triumphant, and therefore we have the victory in Him. So Lord, do us good on this occasion. Bless our souls, glorify Thy name, strengthen Thine own people, and speak to the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to read now a portion of God's Word, 1 Corinthians, and the chapter 15. We'll commence the reading at the verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts. I want to speak to you on the subject of encouragement. And the subject of encouragement reminds me of a story I read of a sporting event that happened many years ago. I believe it was over in Glasgow. At that sporting event, the home champion was competing. And during the competition, it was clear he was beginning to struggle. And so his home fans began to cheer and chant his name and sing their song. And it began just as a whisper. And then more and more people joined in until that champion heard clearly his fans, his supporters cheering in his corner. And that gave him the enthusiasm and the encouragement to keep pressing on. That reminds us also of the family of God, that we ought to be encouraging one another. In the Christian race, in the Christian battle, there ought to be others coming alongside with a wee word in season, just to help us in difficult times and in trying times. The word of God makes that very clear. I'm going to read to you a verse from Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, the verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and to do good works." And the word provoke there gives the idea of encouraging one another unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. The word of God makes it clear. We ought to be provoking, encouraging each other onto good works and onto service. Also, if I can read a portion from 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians and the chapter 5, we read here in the verse 11, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Again, the emphasis there is on encouraging one another. And I would take the opportunity to encourage you that you would take it to heart to encourage others. Sometimes a deliberate little word to a neighbor, to a friend, to a fellow believer can be what they need in a particular time. Going on to someone, laying your hand on their shoulder and just reminding them, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." Encourage others as best you can. Now you will find in the scriptures that the Lord will not be found wanting in regards to encouraging his own people. And that is why I direct your attention on this occasion to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, particularly the verse 58, where we read, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. That verse is a word of encouragement. And it is primarily to the people of God, because it opens by saying, therefore, my beloved brethren. The Lord will not be found wanting when it comes to necessary encouragement for his people. Now, the encouragement in this text is based upon the resurrection. Follow me through here. Because Jesus Christ has died, and he has therefore thereafter risen again from the dead, that gives us a great encouragement. That what we preach, the gospel we believe in, what we share, the one we pray to, it's all true, it's all real, and we ought to take the encouragement to press on and to go on with the Lord and with our work for God. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a most important portion of Scripture which deals with the resurrection. If you have a Bible open before you, perhaps you could read with me verse number 3. So it's 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 3. And it says here, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, not his, died for our sins, there's the gospel, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures made it clear he would die for the sins of his people and that he would rise again on the third day. Verse 5 then speaks about the witnesses. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me. And so we have read there of what the Bible says, the Old Testament said about the resurrection. We have read about these witnesses as well, those who saw the resurrected Jesus. And then when you come to verse 12, we read here, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. But the point is, he did rise. He was victorious over death, over the tomb, and therefore our faith is not in vain, not at all. And we ought to take encouragement from that. There are many things to discourage the child of God. There are many things to make us to be inclined to sit back for a while, but not so. We have everything to give us encouragement, namely that our Saviour has conquered death. So, Christ has died. He has risen again. Therefore, in our text, in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, I draw your attention to verse 57. And here's what verse 57 records for us. But thanks be to God, which hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That verse makes it clear that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and therefore we have the victory. We are the victors. That means that we too have victory over death and over the grave. It means that we too will rise again. The previous verse, verse 55, it says there, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The victory of the grave is no more. Instead, we have the victory over the grave. That's encouraging. And here's the reason why. Our goal is not the grave.
Our goal is glory. We are heading heavenward. We are heading homeward. That's the victory that the child of God has because of Christ's victory over death, in that he rose from the dead. So live. Live like you're going to glory. Do not live like you're going simply into the ground. And maybe you're watching today, and many people are of the opinion, and maybe you're the same, that you will live, and someday you'll die, and you'll just be buried, and you cease to exist. Can I say, with absolute solemnity and seriousness, that is not what this book tells me. This book does not speak of you ceasing to exist, being buried, and that's it. No, no, the Word of God makes it clear that God made man in his own image. And God did not make man to die. God made man to live. Sin came into the world. And then death came upon men and women and children. You know that. So we all die. But the Bible does not speak about us ceasing to exist. Rather, when we die, we simply pass into God's eternity. And the Word of God makes it clear. We arrive in one of two destinations. Either a glorious home in heaven forevermore with Christ. Or, alternatively, we find ourselves in hell forevermore, without any of the mercy and the love and the light or the goodness or love of God. The Word of God makes it very clear that the Lord will say to some, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And those are fearful words. Do not for a moment think that you will simply die, go to the grave. The grave must not be your goal. Don't live your whole life as if you're going to die anyway. Just be buried. No, there's something greater to live for. Make your goal glory. Heaven and the goodness and the glory of God. Make that your goal. Because that is what our text is doing. You see, verse 58. We read here, "Therefore, my beloved brethren." And the word "therefore" is referring to the fact that Jesus Christ has died and risen again. Because he has risen again, because he's been victorious over death and over the grave. And so will you. "Therefore, on that basis, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's the Lord's encouragement. If you're not saved, I want you to understand that the Lord can have a work for you to do. You can have a very important task. That of seeing other people saved, seeing other people won for the Lord, glorifying God. That's what it is to be a Christian, to be redeemed. For your whole life to be turned around, you yourself are going to heaven, but you've got a work to do to share the gospel, to see other people brought off the broad road that leads to hell, onto the narrow road that leads to heaven, to convince people, to speak to people that they're not simply going to the grave and ceasing to exist. Not at all. Not at all. There is glory. There is glory for those who trust in the Lord. Those who repent of their sin, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who walk with God, who trust in him, are heading home to heaven. And so for the believer, the Lord says, "Be ye steadfast." And the word "steadfast" there means, well, it's the present continuous. And it means, don't allow anything to cripple you. Don't allow discouragement to stop you laboring for the Lord, but keep on going. Continue on. Press on. Be steadfast. The verse goes on. "Be ye steadfast, unmovable." That means stay at your post. Dear believer, keep worshipping the Lord. Keep following God. Keep serving the Master. That's the idea there of being unmovable.
I had a family member who was in the army and their job was to be a sniper. And they were really the last line of defense in World War II. And if the enemy would have got past them, this relative of mine, well, then there was nothing between the enemy and the citizens of the people he was defending. And that's the idea here of being unmovable. Don't leave your post. You have a job to do. And do what you can to reach the lost. Be steadfast, unmovable. And then it says, always abounding. Always abounding. And that means to be overflowing. That's the idea. You see, don't do less.
Dear believer, don't sit down and decide to do less for God. No, do more. Pray for God to give you ability to do much more and to do everything that you have. Do it well. Pray for victory, for help, and for power. Dear unbeliever, this is the Christian life. It is serving God with steadfastness, being unmovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord. That is a most important phrase here. The verse is making it clear that we should focus on the work of the Lord. Not the work of our flesh. Not the interests of our passion. But we ought to be steadfast, unmovable, and abound in the work of the Lord. That's God's encouragement today. And I wonder as you watch on here, is that your burden? Are you desirous to serve God, to be abounding? To do a good work for Him, before whom you will stand someday. The verse concludes by saying that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is never in vain when it is in the Lord. You see, when we work, the Lord makes it very clear that He will reward us for our work. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians. If you have a Bible, please turn there. And in 1 Corinthians, the chapter 3, we read here about the day when the Lord will try our works and we will be rewarded for them. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse number 12. Now, if any man builds upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abides, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, the believer will labor to seek to receive a reward from God. But the reality is, if you are not saved, you too will receive a most solemn reward, a wage for living in rebellion against God. And that is death and hell. That's solemn. But for the believer who serves God faithfully, they may not be successful in the eyes of the world. But those who serve God faithfully will receive a faithful servant's reward. Also, staying in the book of Corinthians, but we're going to 2 Corinthians this time. And the verse number 5, here we read of a similar theme. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We will receive a reward for how we have lived in the sight of God. So, dear believer, let me encourage you today. Using this portion of scripture where the Lord would encourage you. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Seek to be abounding in the work of the Lord. And know this, that we are on the victory side because Christ has risen again. We too will rise. And we will receive our reward someday. Glory is our goal, not the grave. Dear unbeliever, I would encourage you to put your faith in Christ and make glory your goal. Heaven and the glory of God. Live for Him and serve Him well. Don't waste your life, but seek the Lord. Serve Him faithfully, and you will receive your reward someday. We ought to encourage each other in the work of God, and the Lord encourages us. I trust you will be encouraged to serve God faithfully in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to bow. We seek the Lord. I would encourage you to even just pray yourself. Lord, if you're not saved, you pray, Lord, save me. If you are saved, you cry unto God, Lord, help me to serve you faithfully this year. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, it is good to pick up the scriptures, for it is full of words of encouragement. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in everything that we do for Thee. Oh Lord, open up the eyes of Your people to see the great need of many who are lost, and they are heading not only to the grave but to hell forevermore. Oh Lord, enable us by the power of the Holy Ghost to serve Thee well and to bring glory to Thy name by seeing people saved. For those, Lord, who are unsaved, oh Lord, may they not aim at the grave. May they not live thinking they will just be annihilated, but that they would live knowing they're going to stand before the judgment throne of God. So Lord, we ask of Thee, bless Thy word. Bless everyone who has considered this portion with us on this occasion. And do us good now. In Jesus' name, we ask and humbly pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.